We're visiting today with Amy Hagerman from Oklahoma State. She's the Ag and Food Policy Specialist today. We asked her to come on the show today to just talk a little bit about CFAP2. We've heard a lot about it. We've been excited that we're getting some additional help, but kind of just give us the breakdown of everything.
Absolutely. So we were kind of hoping that we would see another round of CFAP funds, but we weren't really sure what it would look like. And it is actually quite different from CFAP1. So CFAP1 that ended September 11th was really based on those price triggers. If there was a 5% price difference between a one-week period in January and a one-week period in April, then those commodities were eligible. CFAP2 really opened the door in terms of commodities. There are more commodities that are eligible for this one, but instead of just having the price triggers, we also have flat rate commodities and then also sales commodities. So that's, for me, that's the first big difference between CFAP2 and CFAP1. The price triggers are something you're probably already familiar with, but the big difference under the price triggers is this time all wheat classes are eligible, and that means winter wheat is eligible. The second kind of thing on the price triggers is for cattle. The cattle last time were sales-based, but then also your breeding inventory. This time the cattle payments are inventory-based, but it's non-breeding animals only. So anything that has had an offspring already in your herd would not be eligible this time around. Then we have the flat rate commodities. These flat rate commodities are the ones that they didn't have enough price data, or maybe they didn't reach that 5% price decline threshold. It's a flat $15 per acre rate, and it's going to be based on your FSA crop report that you've already submitted for the 2020 crop year. And this opens the door for things like sesame and canola in the state. And then finally, we have the sales level commodities. These are going to be based on your 2019 sales, if you have 2019 sales, or your 2020 sales if you don't. This is very much where our specialty crops like our pecans and our grapes are going to go here in the state. You don't have to have a minimum level of sales. The first tier is anywhere between $0 and $49,999. So for me, those are kind of some of the big differences that we see here in Oklahoma that will have impact. The winter wheat, the addition of other commodities and the flat rates, the changes in the cattle payments, and then the inclusion of additional specialty crops.
Well, I know with CFAP1, a lot of producers kind of felt like they had missed the date and felt left out. So is CFAP2 going to be helpful in that regard?
So somewhat, I would say. So CFAP1, it was that cutoff date for the sales values particularly for cattle of April 15th, and then for our crop producers, it was that January 15th inventory, which really only captured the 2019 crop year. This time around, for the cattle side of things, there won't be any additional payments on sales that occurred after April 15th, except that there is an inventory payment this time. It's $55 per head, and it's your highest inventory between that mid-April date and the end of August. So if you didn't sell your stockers until, say, mid to late April, you can still count them in your highest inventory because they're non-breeding animals. But it isn't going to be at the same payment level as what we saw under CFAP1. This time it's going to be that $55 per head level. So that's that, you know, cattle producers just got to be a little careful about how they count their numbers on that. Then, but the flip side of that is if you were grazing out on wheat and you harvested your wheat, that is going to be eligible for a per acre payment. And then of course, this is the first time that the cutoff has spread to include the 2020 crop year for our crop producers. And this is really the first help they've had in that crop year.
Well, of course, to benefit from this, you have to apply. And I know the deadline's been set out to December 11th, but if producers have questions about what they qualify for or what they don't qualify for, what's the best way to get all that information?
So there's actually a huge amount of information on the USDA FSA website. I think that's a great first stop. So that's www.farmers.gov/CFAP, CFAP. One of the neat tools on there is they have a commodity finder. If you're not sure if your commodity is eligible or not, you can just click on this little tool. You can choose your commodity from the drop-down box, and they'll tell you exactly what it's eligible for the commodity, not necessarily for how many acres you have or anything like that. You know, the other thing they have on there is a decision tool. It's an Excel-based tool. You can download it. You enter your information in it, and it automatically fills out your application for you. The exception to that's going to be our crop producers, because their FSA crop report is what's going to be used to determine their acres and then also their yields that will be used for their calculation. So those are two great places to start if you just need more information. Of course, contact your county FSA office to get more information, to be able to get your application. And then you can also contact your county educator because they're going to have information as well. Of course, OSU Extension, we're always here to help answer questions for anybody who might have them.
What are your thoughts on CFAP2? Do you feel like this is actually going to be really beneficial to most producers? And do you think we're going to need additional help outside of that?
So if you look at some of the impact estimates from COVID-19, the damage estimates that have been put out over the course of the year, CFAP1 definitely took a big chunk out of some of those damages for some of our crop producers, or for some of our livestock producers particularly. There was less help for our crop producers in CFAP1 because of that January 15th inventory cutoff. And of course, some of the impacts in terms of market price impacts we've seen as the year has gone on were not covered under that CFAP1 program. So I do think CFAP2 definitely fills a gap. It's providing some additional help for those ongoing market impacts. CFAP1 really was focused through April primarily, with some help going out through May. But this CFAP2 is really extending out all the way to August in terms of the help it's providing and offsetting some of those market consequences. It's also designed to offset some of the supply chain consequences. That's particularly true for our specialty crop producers in the state. So I think it fills a critical gap. Time will tell whether these programs have actually offset a significant amount of the damages related to COVID, because we're still not entirely out of the situation itself. So in terms of whether there's a need for additional assistance going forward, I think a lot of that depends on how this COVID situation evolves as we go through the fall, and whether we see any additional disruptions into the supply chain that would actually affect our market prices.
All right, Amy, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you. Have a great day.